It has been a loud week for Unit 5 school board members as conservative activists used the school board meeting to advance their national agenda against certain kinds of Black history education that are not taught in Bloomington Normal. Opposition to that position also showed up. In this interview, Unit 5 Superintendent Kristen Weichel responds to the question of what it's like to be a political football in the nation's culture wars.
You know, as a public school system, we listen to, you know, a number of parents, community members, and groups with, you know, really sometimes differing opinions, and that's okay. Our job is to listen, take that information into consideration, while also considering, you know, rules or guidance from the State Board of Education when making decisions.
Does furor over what you're teaching make your job more difficult?
I wouldn't say that part makes it more difficult. I would always encourage, you know, parents, community members, if they have questions, if we're teaching something, to reach out and ask. And then if they have a concern with it, like, let's engage in a conversation so maybe both of us can seek to get more information and learn from one another.
Could the various constituencies who gave the school board their opinion this week have done a better job in a more civil fashion registering their beliefs?
You know, I mean, the meeting, definitely we had some passionate speakers, but I felt like on the whole, you know, everyone was really pretty respectful and civil and overall appropriate.
The district, as a matter of form, passed a budget of just over $203 million. It was a surplus budget of about $3.5 million. It was originally expected to be a $3 million deficit, but there's still a structural deficit of $12.5 million. The structural deficit has been in place for years. When will that be addressed and brought to zero?
I wish I could say it will be, you know, zero in a matter of a year or two, but I can't say that with certainty yet. So what we are doing is, you know, over the years we've been doing some work to have a savings cost with our energy. Right now we're currently really evaluating where all of our expenditures needs that we need to have versus wants. And then really looking at what are additional ways that we can either save additional money or bring in more revenue. You know, my first year here, I would have hoped to have been able to tackle that a little bit more, but we had that funny thing called COVID, and that's where most of my efforts were. So we're really just starting to take a deeper dive.
When will you decide how to decide on a package of cuts and revenue enhancements and changes to create efficiencies?
So I would hope by the fall we would have some plans in place that we could present to the board.
How fast is the structural deficit widening?
You know, if we were to do nothing, you would obviously see some sort of increase from last fiscal year to this upcoming fiscal year, just because you have inflation, you know, insurance rates increase, that sort of thing.
On the order of $1 million a year, $2 million a year?
It would be approximately $1.5 million to $2 million.
So you're right now at about 5% of the total budget, and in 5 years you'll be at roughly 10% of the total budget then, right?
Potentially. You know, again, we, our operations and maintenance department, they do an amazing job looking at ways to increase our savings as far as energy and reducing rates. And so we have seen a lot of savings in that regard. Being a school district, though, a lot of our educational funds expenditures come from people because we instruct kids. That's the business that we're in. So that means, you know, teachers, paraprofessionals, administrative assistants, principals, you know, all of the people that it takes to run a school. And that's where the bulk of our education fund expenses come from. So we have to look at, you know, what are our needs based on enrollment, and then what are the desires and priorities for our community.
Let's move on to our old friend, the pandemic. You're getting some hindsight. Does the district feel it did enough to help special needs students during COVID, now that you're coming out on the other side and beginning to look at how things will be in the fall?
You know, I think we did the best that we could at the time with the information that we had in the fall, you know, surrounding COVID. It's really easy to look back and say, oh gosh, we wish we would have done this. But in August and September, you know, COVID was still relatively new, and we were learning new information about it. It seemed like almost on a daily rate. And so I do think we did the best that we could. We have avenues in place that should we need to make up some education for students with IEPs, and they qualify for that makeup of education, that we have ways that we can do that. So that really is handled on an individual student basis.
There is at least one parent who has told us that special needs students' rights were violated by not giving them the instruction they're required to provide, at least early on in the pandemic, and that this parent's son made dramatic improvements after schools reopened, so that there was an opportunity lost there. What do you tell that parent?
You know, I would venture to say that most of our students do learn better in person, and I was a special education teacher myself, and so I know it can be a challenge for some students with special needs to learn through a computer. For some of our students, it was probably the first time that they ever, you know, tried to learn and receive instruction that way. And so, you know, I know our teachers worked hard to provide materials and instruction that was meaningful to the individual students that they served, whether it be through a computer or, you know, we had a number of staff even delivering work activities to students' home just to make sure that they were meeting their individual needs.
That's Unit 5 School District Superintendent Kristen Weichel.